Do you realize, listener, that obedience to God's commandments is better than therapy? Obedience is better than therapy. I am a chaplain in the United States Army. I am still on active duty as I record this, but for a very, very short period of time left, and I'm retiring and moving on to bigger and better things. And I deal with people in counseling that I care about deeply, that those I may have in mind here or think about when I record this is not, there's no insult intended. And of course I'll not release or relay anything, you know, sensitive. But people weave a web of disobedience to God for maybe their whole lives, 20 years, let's say, 10 years, 15 years, and they get themselves in such messes in life, and they wonder why. There's no mystery to me why so many people are suicidal these days, and they are. The only thing left for them to contemplate is why not throw themselves off a bridge? Why not do it? Why not throw myself off the cruise ship that just paid $2,000 for the ticket for me and my significant other to go on? What is there? And there's sometimes in life, even when we are obeying God's commands, he sends trials and troubles, and it doesn't go the way that we think. So I know that that's true even in the lives of the righteous. But many of the people that I speak to aren't righteous. They don't trust in Jesus Christ alone for forgiveness, and so they're not righteous. And they are absolutely bound up in sin, bad relationships. Of course, so many of the women that I speak to have murdered someone, meaning their own unborn child. Many of the men that I speak to have murdered someone, namely their own unborn child. Because in my godless culture, people think it's okay to have abortions. It's enough to drive you mad. And when you murder an innocent person, you're not entitled to happiness. You're not entitled to a good life. I mean, what do you think about somebody that has raped someone who comes in an office and says, man, I just feel depressed anymore. I don't really know what to do. Don't you want to say, hey, rapist, you should be in prison? Well, in my culture, you know, people say that murder's okay, and so they walk around free, they're not in prison, but it's insane. It's unholy, it's ungodly, it's not good, it's not just, it's not right. Abortionists should be in prison. That's the men, the women, the doctors, the staff. They should be in prison or put to death. I'd settle for prison. And this is just one example. People living with people, they're not married. Mixed families. Kids having all kinds of issues. Of course they're going to have issues. And you're not raising them well because you're shacking up and you're not married. And you probably were sexually active between your divorce and your now remarriage with this person. And so it's all built on sand. And so of course you're not happy. You don't deserve to be. I'm sorry, you don't deserve it. And you know, when you die, there's an eternity in hell to come. You're not going to be happy there either. And it's very stressful for me as a counselor because I want to tell people that, and I can't always do it because there are dynamics. Anybody counseling knows there are dynamics to counseling. You earn trust, you earn speech, and anybody that's been in any kind of setting like mine understands that not everybody is open to biblical counseling, and you've got to be wise if you want to give them biblical counseling. In other words, if the goal is to inject the gospel, biblical counsel, then you don't just come out with all your guns blazing. But it breaks my heart, and I want to say today that obedience to God's commandments is far better than therapy. When you didn't obey those commandments, your life's a wreck, and now you're trying to fix things up on the back end, which won't work anyway. And that's certainly not in the eternal scheme of things, will it? There's only one thing, therefore. There's only one counsel that can actually make you happy. It's only one. And outside of Jesus, you don't get it. Folks, if you got happiness outside of Jesus, it is very short-sighted. Because it's been appointed unto men once to die, and after that comes the judgment. And if you are not covered by the righteous robes of Jesus, if you stand before God naked in all your sin and failure, then He is a good judge, and He punishes criminals. You're not going to do well. In fact, you're going to do the very definition of not well on that day. And so if you're happy, quote unquote, and it's not because you've been born of God, the Holy Spirit, you're not really happy at all. You're like a drug addict. The drugs are killing your body, and you've got your next fix in hand about to get it. You're not really happy. You're distracted. You're distracted from the very things that are killing you. And it's not going to go well for you. And it breaks my heart. And I can't just... What's also difficult for me as a Christian is that no amount of just speech can make these things true in the heart of a listener anyway. Only God can do that. And so it's different than saying you're having trouble with your wife. Communication is an issue. So here's what I recommend. Have a date night. Be intentional. Now, if somebody takes you up on that and goes and schedules a date night this evening with their husband or wife, depending on if it's a wife or a husband, because only men and women can have marriages, one and one, you give that advice, they take you up on it, it can help. You do an input, you get the output. But that's not how spirituality works, not true spirituality. Only God can enable someone to believe. And so I can't just say, hey, have this faith, give Jesus a shot. And so what's frustrating is that you get more quote-unquote results if you avoid the gospel in the natural world. People will think you're one heck of a counselor when you tell them how spanky they are. People will think you're a great counselor when you just listen. People will think you're a great counselor when you just show that you care. But if they're not open to biblical counseling and you do those things in whatever way, but then you tell them they got to be born again, you're not going to be a great counselor in their mind. Because what you're telling me is that I'm not good enough. What you're telling me is that the answer is not within me. It's not on a weekend vacation or a walk in the mountains. A stiff breeze won't do it. You need a cross. Now, if God has brought you to a place where your sin has shown you that, then that's the best counseling you've ever received in your life. But if your heart is hard and you're unrepentant and you think you're a good person and you're doing okay and your kids are going to be good because they got decent grades and they're respectful, but you're not raising them in Christ, if you think you're doing okay outside of Jesus, I can't help you. And in fact, what's difficult for me is that my help to you, even that which you'd perceive is help and caring and love, if I'm not giving you the gospel, is actually hurting you. If I'm not doing the one thing that can actually lead to life in you, namely showing you you're dead, I'm no help to you. In fact, in the final analysis, if that wasn't my goal and if I wasn't seeking that, I'm actually your enemy. Because I'm not doing the very thing that will bring you to a place where you'd realize, however bad life might be, when I stand before the judge, I'm going to be condemned. I'm going to hell for eternity. If I didn't make sense of that to you, what kind of friend am I to you? What sort of counselor does that? Sees a person drinking something that will surely kill them, never tells them, but instead, while they're sipping on it the whole time, in counsel, talks about their childhood, helps them work through their emotions and see that their emotions are indicators that can, help indicate that they take something seriously and then take positive steps to enact change in their life. But you're doing that and you're making earth a nicer place to go to hell from. And we can't save. Like I said, this is not an input-output measure where, okay, well, you said the prayer, now you must be saved. That's not how true spirituality works. That's how carnality works. But I'd be the ultimate betrayer of someone if my eyes aren't on the judgment to come. It's like Martin Luther said, there are 2 days on my calendar, today and the day of judgment. And this is why counseling in a secular, dead, ecumenical, gobbledygook, stupid environment is worthless. It is worthless. This is why the Army Chaplain Corps is pushing worthless ideas. Or any, you know, chaplain corps that just sees religious counseling as, you know, it's good in any religion to anybody that practices any religion. What? So Jesus is as good as Buddha? Jesus to the Christian, the one who believes in Jesus, is only as good as Allah is to the Muslim? Because it reduces stress and leads to longer term healthier people. The research and data shows that when spirituality and purpose are infused as part of a patient's holistic health care, it leads to better patients, better recovery times, lower fiscal expenditures for care. Here's the data. Here's the control set. That's it. That's what Christianity is. It's a truth, maybe not as good as what the data indicates Buddhism is. Because among Buddhist patients, there was a 17% reduction in hospital stay times. And in Christians, it was only 15.8%. That's it. Now, that gets you on a staff. That gets you a paycheck. But it is spiritually worthless. And the kind of people that would believe that crap are worthless preachers. They are not ones in the pulpit expounding the gospel, which is the help of the soul. The only help of the soul. And so, you know, on a staff, you might recognize, well, you know, a Jewish faith, yeah, that's going to get you there. You know, bring in a Jewish rabbi. That'll help someone recover from a surgery better. It's not going to help their soul on the day of judgment, is it? And so it's frustrating. And I, as a minister of the gospel in the military, I represent my faith tradition, and I can celebrate diversity. I can actually celebrate that my government doesn't demand that people go to church on Sunday morning. I don't want them doing that. I don't want them demanding any kind of spirituality. There should be no compulsion. So I can celebrate religious diversity on one hand, but I'm talking about here the fact that it's frustrating that the counsel that I can give that can truly help people, they're not open to, but they actually think I'm helping them in counsel that they are open to, and I'm not. Folks, obedience to God. God has like a recipe for life, okay? It's like a recipe for the best chocolate chip cookies you ever done ate in your life. It's delicious. And if you follow the recipe, the steps, the order of things, the ingredients, and you put it in the oven and you bake it at such and such temperature for such and such a time, and you pull it out and you give it such and such time to cool, and you eat that, oh my goodness, it's the kind of stuff that, you know, when the neighborhood kids hear baking, I don't know, does anybody do this anymore? Or are we too afraid that they're going to spike it with, you know, some kind of chloroform? Yeah, how many grandmas are baking cookies these days, right? I guess it happens in small towns. But you know, if you follow the recipe, delish. But people don't. They're sexually immoral. They're blasphemous. They fill their lives with the filth of Hollywood and the disgusting trash that's coming out of most music. They fill themselves with it. This is their only input. And garbage in, garbage out. And their lives are filled with sexual immorality, debauchery. They don't read God's word. They don't live their lives according to his commandments. They don't walk humbly with God. They think they get to invent their God. The arrogance of man, well, you know, I choose what kind of God I get. That's my culture. That's my current American people. They're stupid, spiritually bankrupt, useless only to be thrown in the fire, according to Jesus in John 15. They don't bear fruit. They're good for only one thing. Kindling. That's what he said in John 15. That's my people. But they think that they're good because Jesus to them is just, I mean, eventually, I'm a bunch of nuns walking around, they say. Like, I have no religious background. None. I don't go to church. I'm a nun. and that's their level of spirituality. I'm spiritual. I'm just not religious. I believe in disorganized religion. That's the kind of nitwits I walk around with all day long. They cast God's word behind them. They're not following the recipe. And they've got feces in their cookies. And they get suicidal and they get overcome because they don't obey. Listener, repent of your sin. Look at the Ten Commandments. Let that diagnose your sin condition. God, the doctor, has said, here's the diagnosis. You're going to die. He is going to crush you. There is something coming the Bible calls the day of wrath. It's not a day of love. It's a day of wrath. And it abides on you already if you are not in Christ. Look at the Ten Commandments. Let it kill you. There's one God. He's going to judge you by his law. You're not going to do well. You've lied. You've stolen. You've blasphemed. You've looked with lust. You've committed adultery. You've dishonored the Sabbath. You've not loved God. You've envied. You've coveted. You murdered in your heart. Jesus said, you even look with lust. You're an adulterer at heart. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. I need a Savior. And so do you. And there's only one. And through the cross is the only way. He literally took wrath on himself. The wrath due to you. If you are to repent and believe it for you, he does that. There's only one hope, and it's in him. His death, his resurrection is the evidence that God has accepted that perfect sacrifice. And in behalf of all those he made that sacrifice for, might be you, call on his name today to forgive you. Let the law condemn you. It's not there to help you. It's not there to make you feel good. It's there to make you feel bad. It's there to show you that you're helpless. That is its help when it is a tool in the hands of God, the Holy Spirit. And it can enlighten you to the need of a Savior, not a system, because you suck. You don't need a system. If you were doing okay, you might do okay with just another commandment. You need a Savior because you cannot obey. By nature, you're dead. You're dead already. Jesus said, if you don't believe in him, you're condemned already. John chapter 3, you're already condemned. There's only one hope for you. And it's the same hope for everybody you've ever met or anybody you'll ever meet. There's only one. All the other gods are useless idols, as dumb and stupid as their followers. They cannot help. There is one God and one gospel. And in that resurrection alone is their hope. And that's where all our counseling wants to get you. And once you have him, once you have Jesus, everything else is footnotes. All right, Lord, I can struggle. I can suffer. I've sinned. I've made mistakes. I made my bed. Command me in the way that I should walk, because I know I needed a Savior, and now I have him. And he's never going away. What challenge in life could you not face with Christ on your side, listener? What mountain can you not cross? What sea? What obstacle is there? There's not a devil in hell anymore that hasn't already been put down. There is not an issue you are going to face where infinite resources are not now completely available to you. What kind of hope does Jesus alone then bring? Folks, if I'm not preaching that, stick a fork in me. I'm done. Give me another job. I'm useless. If I'm not preaching Christ and him crucified, I'm a Satanist as a preacher. I'm worthless. I'm worse than worthless. I'm opposed to you because I'm opposed to God. I hope that you understand my reasoning here, because I know people get in places in life. And again, sometimes we obey God and things go wrong. I'm not talking about that. Hopefully, if you're in that category where you are seeking Jesus and yet things go wrong, you know where to go. You know why. You know how to deal with this. I'm talking about the vast majority of people that I meet that are not following Christ, and their lives are a mess, and their children are a mess, and their health is a mess, and their career is a mess, and they wake up and they're overcome by anxiety, and so they drink and they distance and they fight and divorce and sexual immorality and pornography is all in their life. You got crap in your cookies, man. And you think God's supposed to just fix this up for you because you asked? Repent. Stop sucking in life. Follow his law. Obey him. Come to Christ. And it's the only way you're going to do that. Take up your cross, but know that he always bears the heaviest end of it. That's what we invite people to, not a system, to a savior. That's all I want for people. And anything else that distracts from that, oh, I'm doing good, I don't need Jesus, that is the devil's tool in your life. I was low in life and I went and saw a therapist and they helped me with some drugs. Satan. Sound like that old Dana Carvey Saturday Night Live cartoon, I know. That's just the devil. I'm banging a bunch of chicks. I'm not married. I'm having sex. And life was pretty low, but then I got promoted and now I make more money and I'm doing okay. Satan. You know, I was feeling kind of low and I went home and saw my grandma. Grandma told me, just be yourself, honey. Don't let any religion, don't let any God, don't let anybody tell you what you need to do. You just be happy. And then she reminded me that that's really all that matters. Satan. Because it will rob you of the cross, the necessity of a risen Savior, blood shed between God and man, peace brought in, reconciliation for sin. God can say to every devil and every angel, I dare to forgive this person because have you seen what Jesus did for them? Case closed. They trust in Him. Folks, that's good news. That's true hope. That's everlasting hope. That's everlasting life. And if you don't know Jesus, you will have none of it. And your life should be miserable. And I want it to be miserable because it might be that rock bottom point alone that is when you start looking to the cross. And if I help you look anywhere else, folks, I'm not helping you. I'm not your friend. I might think I'm your friend. I'm not. I'm not your counselor. I might think I'm your counselor. I'm not. Look to Christ and be saved, or not, and be damned. God bless.